there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am really excited to bring you the second installment of our new mini-series called Meet the Farmer. This series is about learning from local producers and farmers who are actively implementing conservation on their lands. Farmers who work tirelessly to bring us our valuable crops and food sources while also maintaining balance with healthy soil, water, and habitat. This episode, we will hear from Wayne Steenson and his crew, Raina Wickstrom and Von Tron with Steenson Farms, about their day-to-day life on the farm, their philosophy of working with the land, and how agriculture is helping to conserve our natural resources in the Willamette Valley. And we are your hosts. I'm Chelsea Blank.
And I'm Becky Panetta.
And we are conservation planners with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. So welcome, Steenson crew. I'm honored to have you all join me today on the podcast. So thank you for coming.
We're happy to be here today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Okay, so jumping right into our questions. First, can we start with getting a little bit of information about your farm? Can you go into the location and the history? Tell us a little bit about its landscape and what the past farming practices are.
The farm today is about 113 acres total. We sit between Salem and Silverton, closer to Salem. And the farm was originally, became a Steenson farm with my grandfather in 1949. Prior to that, I think it had been hops. Then he started doing some eggs and wheat on kind of small scale. We planted our first hazelnuts in 1968, and we had a mature, about 45 acres mature Barcelonas that unfortunately we lost in the Valentine's Day freeze in 2021. That kind of, that really changed the nature of our operation here for a few years. Of that 113 acres, we have 10 acres of seventh leaf trees, and then the rest is kind of evenly divided between second and third leaf trees.
And something you mentioned seventh leaf and like fourth leaf trees. Can you just describe what that means for any listeners who might not be familiar with hazelnuts?
Yeah, basically we put just a small start in the ground, and the first leaf is that summer following the winter that we plant it in the ground, and we just count from there.
How long have you all been farming, and what would you say your farming philosophy is?
This is Raina. I've been down here in Salem helping on the farm, living down here for about 5 years. But as a kid, I came out and visited the farm. My grandparents lived here.
And this is Bun here. Came around to help out Wayne with the farm just right before 2020 there. And
I grew up on the farm and kind of helped, helped from the beginning, kind of as a kid when we first planted the hazelnuts. So, yeah, although I feel like I've been at it all my life and I have been helping when I can and all, really, I've only been, just in the last 10 years been full time at it. I guess I'm kind of running things and coordinating things in general. I live here full time, and I kind of set the priorities and just trying to get the right group of folks together at any one time.
I am down here doing all of the stuff that we need to do out in the fields. Doing the pruning, the mowing, other farm work essentially that we do. I'm here to do it all. I am on the advisory committee for the Oregon Organic Hazelnut Collective, and it's a group of hazelnut growers and those in the organic industry or interested in becoming organic growers. We do a lot of stuff with that, including a summer tour and education and resources for different folks in the industry.
Yeah. So this is Vun here. So I live on the farm here with Wayne, and I provide support to him and to Raina wherever I can. Some of it may include more of a little bit of family support for Wayne's folks, and sometimes occasionally for some of the younger generations that will visit and filter through. There's also other additional behind the scenes type of the paper pushing.
Vun helps out a lot with financial record keeping, and for instance, if we are pursuing a grant of sorts or that type of thing, that's kind of her purview.
So yeah, you mentioned that the farm is organic. So is that kind of part of your farming philosophy as well, that you try to do everything organic as you possibly can? And what kind of brought you to that?
Yeah, so our older orchard, it's Seventh Leaf, that has been certified organic for a couple of years. And our younger trees, the rest of them, they're just starting their transition. So they have a little less than 3 years until they can be certified, but they won't be really producing many hazelnuts until after then anyway. So they're not far behind. I guess our part of our philosophy is the sustainability of organic farming and using biodiversity and the natural resources to help us so we can help sustain and support the soil.
Trying to swim with the current of nature rather than fight against it is kind of learning how to do that and learning how to take advantage of that. And sometimes that process, usually that process is quite a bit slower than the input, the conventional inputs see. So kind of that learning how to swim with the current there, it takes time to kind of observe the outcomes of your action or inaction and kind of see where you need to adjust course in there. But that's part of, that's part of the really interesting and enjoyable parts of what we're doing.
So where do you sell your products? So do you mostly just sell hazelnuts? Do you sell them wholesale? Do you sell them retail? What does the kind of market look like for your products, especially them being organic? Does that change things?
That is, that's a pretty significant issue for us. Hazelnuts are one of the top agricultural products of Oregon. But of all the hazelnuts that Oregon produces, organic hazelnuts are just a fraction of 1%. Right now, there's only one certified organic processor. That's Cascade Foods in Albany. And there's only one washed dry Pacific hazelnuts in Lebanon. So what we end up doing right now is what little crop we're getting off our Seventh Leaf trees, we take them down to Lebanon for a wash dry, and then they get taken to Cascade Foods in Albany, and Cascade Foods processes them as required, shelling generally shelling and producing a wholesale product that they market. So that's what we're doing. A lot of it's such a small slice of the hazelnut market that, a lot of the organic producers are kind of doing their own value added or vertically integrating through the processing themselves. We may at some point in the future see about doing something like that. It's the type of crop where there's a long latency period from when you plant them until you can start getting a cash crop. And once you start growing them, you're kind of locked in for, hopefully 50 plus years, if you're lucky. Mm. So you can't really just kind of dip your toe into it and just say, oh, I'll try this for a year or two. It's a major commitment of many decades. The other thing is there are a few, you know, growing this type of crop with, you know, on a large scale, there are some pests and some diseases that are very difficult to manage. Eastern filbert blight being the major one, and another pest, the filbert worm, is another one that they've had difficulty managing organically. The eastern filbert blight is that's a pretty serious disease. It showed up here in Oregon in the 1970s, and Oregon State had done an amazing job under Dr. Sean Mellenbacher coming up with the resistant varieties. They bred a genetically resistant variety of hazel, or a number of varieties of hazelnuts, which were planted over the last 20 years or so. So we thought that was going to take care of the issue of blight, but just in the last 3 or 4 years, they realized that the blight, the fungal blight, had mutated, and now it also affects those previously kind of genetically immune. So that's and the typical ways that's dealt with is with fungicides. And they haven't developed any organic certified fungicides or treatments to deal with that. So that's, I think that's something that is really causing a lot of people to be resistant to considering going organic. It's having to contend with that, both, yeah, the risk of, losing the orchard to that. The other thing is keeping the trees, keeping them healthy and keeping so that they're healthy and vigorous and can fight off, they're less vulnerable and to slow down the spread of infection. And we're making a number of practices that are maybe a little outside the mainstream to do that. For the pruning part of it, we are going, rather than single stem, we're growing multiple stem trees, so that if we do get an infection, you need to cut out the infection maybe 3 feet below the lowest visible portion of that. And if you have a single stem tree, that might mean the whole tree has to go. So one of the ways we're kind of mitigating that is by having multiple stem trees, that if we see an infection, we can take out the stem and still have a viable tree.
I was going to say that hazelnuts are harvested from the ground. And so with organic practices, a cover crop is used to hold in moisture and to keep the ground cooler for beneficials. And so a lot of farmers aren't used to that practice. They're used to the just bare dirt that can let the machinery pick up hazelnuts easier. So they are not as easily swayed into a challenge of harvesting in the cover crop. But there are machinery that could pick it up.
All of those problems are kind of works in progress. And we're learning as we go.
Just a quick update. If you are now joining us, I am here with Wayne Vunn and Raina with Steenson Farms. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming on KMUZ.org.
All right. So what are the biggest challenges you have faced in farming?
I think a lot of it does have to do with the climate change or the big weather events that we've been having more often, the hotter summers, the ice storm that came through. So we're still, of course, rebuilding from that and figuring out ways to keep our trees cool in the summer. We're dry land farming, so we don't water regularly, but when they're young, we do water. So we have other strategies to help us with that, like a sunscreen for the trunk so the trunks don't get burned. And
there are other mitigating practices that we implement too, because the moment the trees are stressed out, they become that much more susceptible and vulnerable to a number of you know, heat stress and to pests, disease, all the wonderful fun stuff. So we do end up doing a lot of hand pruning, maintenance, to cut out blighted, infected areas.
Yeah, I'd say that the climate change is probably, probably the biggest single challenge that we're worried about. For instance, with the cover crop, what we found, there's been some research done recently, which included our farm, and on those very, very hot 100 degree plus days, our surface temperature was 30 degrees lower than similar orchards with the bare dirt.
Oh, wow. That's significant.
Right. And so even though we don't really have any definitive information on, long-term how that works, there are indications that, that for instance, having the cover crop will help lower the soil temps. And actually, a lot of people find it counterintuitive, worried that the cover crop itself is going to take away all the moisture, from the trees. But it looks like that might not be the case, and it actually helps retain some moisture in the soil for the trees. We're pretty optimistic about this right now. And of course, managing the cover crop is certainly a learning process. We've been experimenting this year with sheep in the orchard for the spring period. And so they've been grazing on the cover crop in our seventh leaf orchard. And hopefully providing some good, some good amendments to the soil there to increase the fertility there and the diversity in the soil structure. And this is our first year of trying that. There have been some challenges with that, but we're going to keep working with it. And I think that there might be a future in that. They also help with the sucker control. Hazelnut trees tend to throw up multiple shoots naturally. And so one of the big management issues is keeping the suckers under control, and the sheep like to eat those. The one issue that we had just a little problem with this year is some of the sheep gnawing on the bark of the lower branches, which,
oh no.
Right. That's not a good situation. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem to happen all the time. And we're trying to learn more about why we think it may have been a nutrient or mineral shortage that they were trying to find. So, mm-hmm. It's once again, it's kind of that slow learning process that we'll work through and figure it out eventually. One of the issues with organic versus the conventional farming is we're unable to really push the trees with fertilizers and other amendments, which can which along with irrigation can kind of push a much larger crop. And so there's a commercial advantage to really pushing the trees with fertilizers, foliar fertilizers, as well as kind of standard ones. And so that's one of the things that it can be a disadvantage for the organic grower, in that, typically, our per acre harvest will be, maybe not as dependable size-wise or as large. Some of that research, I hope, can show that there's a good quality nut coming without without all those extra added inputs. You know, along the same thing as we've planted our orchard much greater spacing than the typical conventional orchard goes. And that is in order to get more sunlight into the trees and sunlight into the cover crop, especially as the trees get bigger, you know, they shade out the cover crop and you get less, and then you get less, you know, less organic matter being returned into the soil there. So that's one of the other things is we've got quite a wide space, about 23 feet between trees versus as little as, you know, as little as 9 or 10 feet often.
What are some of your needs that maybe are still not being fully met due to some of those challenges? Like, is there any kind of gaps in between your priorities and your unmet needs still on the farm?
I think for me, a lot of it is knowledge and, you know, getting a better understanding of, for instance, how these fungal and bacterial networks in the soil work and how they synergistically, you know, cooperate with the trees. And so that seems to be, and then how we can, you know, organically support that and encourage it and be able to, you know, help the trees to fully exploit that type of, you know, those networks and figure out just how to get those things, have a better understanding of how they work and how to get them going and how to support them in terms of practice. And so we're just doing our best to kind of the best soil practices we know, but I think hopefully there will be kind of more knowledge coming from some of this research that will actually be specific. And everyone has one piece of kind of this puzzle to put it together. And we're just trying to cast our nets wide to gather up that information. And
some of the thoughts I've had has more to do with building infrastructure and more support resources for organic hazelnut farming. We're anticipating and planning for our second and third leaf to grow and develop and turn into a commercially viable operation. You know, within those transitional years, you know, I'm thinking about are we going to have enough facility resources to help us with, you know, harvesting and processing, in addition to all of the other, our day-to-day concerns. Right. I mean, because thinking of other producers and growers that are spread out across Oregon, I'm sure they would like to find a wash-dry facility that's certified organic that's closer to them. And, you know, I'm sure shipping and costs are an equal concern, you know, for them as it is for us.
Because it's, you know, for a big facility, when you're doing, you know, hundreds of tons of conventional, then you have to shut it down, clean it, wash it. And, you know, just for a very small little bit of organic, it's pretty cumbersome for them to do. And so that I kind of feel with just one wash dry and one processor, you're kind of on the edge that if all of a sudden, hey, this isn't working out for us, this isn't financially feasible since you're less than 1%. You know, that's, you know, you could, then all of a sudden you're in a situation of, well, I guess I'm selling these nuts conventionally for a conventional. Right.
Well, on to our last question. Are there any just last words that you'd like to leave our listeners today?
You know, I got grandkids, a bunch of grandkids running around here. And if I was, in the past I was putting on, you know, we were putting on chemicals and I remember cautioning, hey, you guys, you can't play out here for a day or two, you know, because, you know, it's been sprayed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not an issue now. They got free run, the animals have free run, and it feels much more in line with what in my heart I feel agriculture is all about. maybe you might call them intangible benefits there, but I like that aspect of it.
I would say, so we, like you said earlier, we have a ton of challenges, but there are also like a lot of really, really great things about hazelnut farming and growing organically. We have a ton of awesome birds out here. We have predators, and we have the prey also. We have hawk poles, and we can find skulls underneath those. So we know that our hawks are doing work for us. We have ladybugs and not aphids. We have a ton of worms in our soil. So it's really fun discovering all of that and seeing how those guys are all working together. So yeah, it is a challenge, but it's also really, really nice to connect with nature that way and to be able to grow organically. And there's a lot of resources available that can help out. And there's the Transition to Organic Partnership Program through the USDA that gives people interested or starting to go organic, it gives them a mentor who is a grower of the same crop that is already practicing organic.
So were you able to be a mentee and a mentor?
We haven't been a mentor yet. I think that sometime in the future, I think we will be doing that. But it is a great program.
Reaching out, I think, would be another way of us to encourage other listeners or aspiring farmers to branch out, reach out to the local resources out here.
I just wanted to say thank you all for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to work with you over the last few years. You were one of my first clients, and I've gotten to see your practices grow along with, like you said earlier, trying new things and seeing how they work and being willing to try something that maybe not everybody is doing yet. And I think you've seen some benefits from those practices, and it's just been a pleasure to work with you.
Well, Becky, we've really appreciated the help that you and the folks there have provided us. And absolutely the best. So thank you.
I really appreciate to get to know you all a little bit better and hear about some of your production.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been good talking to you today about it.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I've been talking with Wayne Steenson, Van Tron, and Raina Wickstrom with the Steenson Farms about organic hazelnut production. And we are your hosts, Chelsea Blank
and Becky Panetta
with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Conservation Spotlight. I hope you enjoyed our second episode of our new mini-series called Meet the Farmer. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website at marionswcd.net and our Facebook page. Every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. And if you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ to hear at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening, and keep up the conservation conversation.